morning, everyone, and happy St. Patrick's Day, or I should say the day after St. Patrick's Day, and I'm sure that everybody is just recovering, or if you're still continuing on the celebration, good luck with that. I mean, everybody has corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day, and then, of course, this is the day after, so welcome to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine the Roach, and today we have a pretty serious subject. It's called identity theft and those scams out there. And my good friend, Chief of Police Jim Anderson from Wrentham, is here in the studio this morning to talk about this. Identity theft is one of the fastest growing crimes in America, and it's estimated about 18 million people are victimized from identity theft every year. One major complaint to the Federal Trade Commission is if you are scammed, you have to report it. And one of these things, it's just so much material about how to protect yourself from identity theft. What is it? So I brought in an expert and to help us identify identity theft and what you can do to take some important measures. I know we've all go online to shop. We all go to the ATM machines. We all write down our personal information on forms everywhere. So I just wanted to introduce Jim Anderson, Chief of Police from Wrentham.
Elaine, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate you getting up this early.
Well, you know, thank you for having me, and once again, it's good to be on your show.
Thank you. Yeah. So let's describe some of the types of identity theft.
All right, so, you know, identity theft comes in a lot of different forms. And, you know, one of the ways that, well, there's several ways that people can steal your information. And the important thing is that your information is everywhere. You know, whether it be in a financial institution, a retail store, medical records. So how people steal your information is vitally important. And some of the ways they do it is, you know, what we call dumpster diving. And basically, when you toss out, whether it be bills, credit card statements, could be bank accounts, you throw in your trash, mm-hmm. people actually go through your trash and it'll pick out different information.
Really?
Yeah, they do. And and the thing is, they don't need that much information on you to really steal your identity. Because all they're looking for is your name, address, and hopefully either a date of birth or a social security number. And then what they do is they've got your information, and now they pose as you in some certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I get these pre-approved credit cards.
Correct.
And I tear them up in half.
Right.
And I throw them in the trash. Are you telling me that people are going through our trash?
Well, some people do go through your trash.
Holy
and it's important that you're not throwing away the information, that you're either shredding it, or I tell people who have like wood-burning stoves, mm-hmm. you know, use it to burn it, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, you just never want to throw it away. And
okay.
some people will even like cut it up.
Yes.
But people can still piece it together. So you want to shred it, or you want to, you know, like burn it.
Right.
Same thing with credit cards. If you get a credit card that's expired, you know, you don't want to just chop it up with a pair of scissors and toss it in the thing. You want to be able to shred it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because people can you know, piece it together and still have, you know, vital information that they could use.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you see an increase in theft over the time? Now we have computers and people are always online and buying things online and.
Well, again, I mean, your information's everywhere. You just think about this, right? Any bank accounts you have, mm-hmm. right, in a financial institution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mortgage companies, credit cards,
mm-hmm.
hospitals. If you go to a hospital visit, they've got all your information. Doctors, retail stores. If you have a credit card from like Target
mm-hmm.
or Best Buy,
right?
So this information passes through many layers of people. And how secure is it really? Because you're dealing with humans.
Right.
And it's up to them to really to kind of secure your information.
Right. Well, you trust that.
You do trust that. But as you can tell, you know, it's the fastest growing crime in America is identity theft and people stealing, you know, your ID and financial information, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, unfortunately, I've been a victim of identity theft. Once I had my credit card stolen, did not know it was stolen until I got a call from American Express. And they saw an unusual amount of activity on my card. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, we were able to track that because American Express actually could track every place that the thief was using my card. Mm-hmm. And we were able to, at one point, actually capture the bad guy.
You did.
Well, not me personally.
Right.
But the next town over where it was stolen from, they were the ones who tracked it down and found the guy.
You're so lucky.
I am lucky. And you know, because it was with American Express, basically, you know, it didn't cost me anything.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Now, what is the penalty for identity theft of that magnitude?
Well, it depends. You know, anything over $250 worth of stolen goods is a felony.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
In this particular case, they racked up about $17,000 worth of goods in a matter of hours.
Oh.
Yeah, in a matter of hours. Yeah. Yeah. They'd gone to Home Depot and they were just buying the place out.
Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah. So, you know, I was fortunate in that particular case. A second case, I believe that I was at a restaurant.
Right.
And I believe what happened was maybe 2 days after I was at that restaurant, I got a notification from my credit card again. They noticed an unusual activity of, it was over $25,000 worth of ceiling fans were bought. And I said, well, that clearly was not me. And as it turned out, I believe it was the server who took my credit card,
mm-hmm.
probably took my information, and they gave it to a friend or a relative because it was the ceiling fans were sent to a condo complex in Worcester. So somebody must have been doing some renovation work.
Right, yeah. Right. Care to name the restaurant?
Well, I probably shouldn't because I don't have
the proof.
Proof that it came
oh,
from
Oh, he'll
them,
tell
but,
me during
yeah.
break.
I
I'll
will,
make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was down the Cape, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Yikes, that is just really, oh my God. So I know that we'll get into corporate, too, because I was a victim of that, too. What happened was hackers got into our HR
right.
database and stole all our information. And so for 2 years, we had to subscribe to an identity LifeLock.
Right.
You know, everybody got that for 2 years from our company and everything. And then it just canceled out this year. But I haven't had any activity on any of the accounts, and I check it every day, twice a day, just to make sure there's nothing going on.
So you check it with LifeLock every day?
No, I don't have a LifeLock anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No, it expired. Hmm. And we could do it again, but it's expensive.
Right.
It's very
right.
expensive. Right. The company paid for it, which was great because it was there. You know, someone hacked into our account. Right. We end up having to pay, like, ransomware.
Right.
So we had, that's how I learned about Bitcoin and in that cyberspace
right.
and terrorism and all of that. We had the FBI involved. It was just.
Right. So ransomware basically is when someone gets into your computer and they encrypt it and then lock it up.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for you to get that information back, you have to pay a ransom to get it back. And if it was really big, I want to say maybe about a year ago, and it was police departments were getting hit with it.
Really?
Police departments, hospitals, doctor's offices, and they actually had to pay to release that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not a real expert, but I've been told that one of the ways that you want to combat that is you want to be able to back up all of your information, either like on the cloud or with a USB device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Our servers now have that. We put it in place where everything gets backed up on a network drive, and we have cloud also.
Mm-hmm.
But just trying to figure out unlocking it, and even when they unlock the files from that ransom, we lost a lot of data,
right,
which was just really amazing. Right. They were trying to trace it down. We have an international wall clock, and we can actually see who's pinging our servers. Yeah. Because we have like one of the largest databases in the country with material. We track all products that are being sold in inventory control for like 500 of the major shopping, grocery stores, you know, product lines from Birds Eye to Colgate, Palmolive, and everything in between, Pepsi, Coke. Everybody comes to us and we track all their inventory and stuff. So all this data, statistical data, I should say, was being locked and then it was unlocked. And luckily their servers were encrypted enough where they couldn't get those, but just our HR files, and it was just crippling. It was just
it can cripple, you know, a whole industry. If you know, but my concern was always with, you know, so if you pay the ransom, what guarantees do you have that they're not going to come back and do it again?
Exactly.
You know, and then you're paying again, you're paying again, you're paying again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We have our program has now had gone through that, and we had hired a CIA intelligence company that comes in after you've been hit, and they like gave us this huge program for encryption and different things, and they worked together with our security team to put those things in place. But you're right, you never guarantee that that's not going to happen again. And two of the main people that we're hitting in the United States, can you guess what countries they are?
Well, I'm sure they're overseas.
They are. We found out it's China and Russia that are trying to get into the information into the systems here. But, it's just really crazy, that's for sure. We are coming up against a break in a short time. Folks out there, if you have any questions about identity theft, if you have been a victim of that and would like to get back to us, our number here is 508-222-1320. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Stop by the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary on April 2nd at 10 a.m. for an hour-long guided hike of the sanctuary. Get outside, experience nature, and get some exercise. These guided hikes are a great way to learn about local flora and fauna. Each trip is its own adventure, dependent on what nature wants to share with hikers that morning. Hikes will take place rain or shine, so please dress accordingly. For more information, call the sanctuary at 508-223-3060.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Finding a mechanic or automotive repair facility can be an arduous task. Questions like, am I being overcharged, or am I paying for work that doesn't need to be done, are valid concerns. Roberts Automotive understands this. That's why they abide by a code of ethics to help keep your mind at ease. When bringing your vehicle to Roberts Automotive, they'll explain how to correct existing problems and perform preventative maintenance. Most importantly, Roberts Automotive knows your vehicle is more than transportation, it's a lifeline to work, to school, for family. Roberts Automotive is located at 193 Pine Street in Attleboro. For more information and to view their code of ethics, you can visit their website at robertsautomotiveinc.net.
Color me your car. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. In studio, a very special friend of mine, Jim Anderson, who is the chief of police in Wrentham, and we're talking about identity theft and those scams that we all have, those silly phone calls in the middle of the night that, or around dinner time when people are calling you and asking you for your personal information. And I have had that happen to me, someone pretending to be from the IRS and really, really a forceful voice, very assertive voice and very serious voice demanding, you know, my personal information. Has that ever happened to some of the folks that you know?
I do. In fact, I mean, that's a long-running scam, the IRS. And, you know, a couple of important things to just note is, first of all, the IRS will never, ever call you by phone initially. You know, they'll always reach out to you by mail. Mm-hmm. But you'd be surprised at how many people either get a phone call of someone posing as an IRS agent, or they get an email from someone posing as an IRS agent.
That's right.
And basically the scam is this. They're looking for X amount of dollars, mm-hmm. Because you know, allegedly, you know, owe taxes. If you don't pay, they're going to send the local sheriff or the local constable to come and lock you up, and you've got like 48 hours or 72 hours to produce the money.
Right.
Unfortunately, because, you know, we take a lot of those reports, and some people actually fall victim to it. You know, they're so scared, so petrified that someone's going to be knocking on the door and taking them away in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing is, it is just a scam. Like I said, the IRS will never call you by phone. You know, now initially they may reach out to you by mail. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't do it by email. They'll do it by regular mail. And you may have some follow-up conversations with them on the phone, but they're not going to call you demanding money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that does happen. That does happen. Yeah. A while back there was a scam about, what is it? They want you to go buy these
prepaid cards.
Yeah, prepaid cards. What is that all about?
So basically, it's a prepaid card that now you put the money on that card.
Okay.
And you send it to them.
You send it to them.
Right.
And then in the hopes of you will get what in return? Is it?
Well, just that you're paying your debt to the IRS.
Oh, right. So they use that as a tool to do that. And people will go ahead.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, although they target everybody, mm-hmm. you know, really the robocalls, you know what I mean?
They are.
They just, you know, they come in a flurry. I received them at my house. You know what I mean? I just delete it and, you know, that's the end of it. But you know, they kind of prey on elderly people. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's just like the scam that's out there. You know, they target elderly people for, you know, your grandson, your granddaughter is, you've been locked up overseas. And they need, you know, $10,000 to get them out of jail. And people fall for it.
Oh, my God.
They just do.
Really?
You know? And also, the get-rich-quick schemes.
Like what?
You know? So, well, first of all, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. You know what I mean? But scams are out there. You know, you give us $10,000, and within 3 months, we're going to turn that into the $50,000 or $100,000. And people, you know, they see dollar signs and they figure, boy, you know, that's a quick turnaround, a quick investment, you know, so I'll do it. Mm-hmm. We actually had one gentleman in town who will remain nameless, but he fell for that. So he gave him, actually, they're looking for $8,000. We gave him $8,000. And in 3 months, he was supposed to get a return. And 3 months go by, doesn't hear anything. 4 months goes by, nothing. The number that they'd given him, he calls, out of service. You know, so he reports it to us. So we take the report. And unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do because a lot of this does start overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's not a lot that we're going to be able to do for him. The sad thing is, about a year and a half later, he falls for it again. And this time, it was $10,000 rather than the $8,000, hoping to get that quick return. And it just never happened. Oh. And he was an older guy, and basically he gave away his savings to try to get a lot of money back, which he was hoping he was going to be able to leave for, you know, his adult son. But as it turned out, it just never happened.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, Yeah. And unfortunately, there are unscrupulous people who will take advantage of you. You know, and you know, you really got to be aware of what's going on. Right. And not only you got to have self-awareness, but you also have to be aware of what's going on, not only in the country but nationally as far as scams. Right. You just do.
Right. Yeah. I have to tell you, the biggest scam that I've run into, and it's like every single month, and I'm sure we all have had this letter from a woman or a man from Nigeria that, you know...
Nigerian prince.
Or a princess, right. Can you explain that to our listeners, what that's all about?
No, it's just another scam, you know what I mean? And people get creative. I mean, there's no end to what they can do as far as being creative and coming up with some type of scam that they think is going to work. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if it's a new scam, you know, it's in the early stages, people tend to fall for it. It's only when people start to fall for it and it starts getting reported as a scam that it becomes headline news and people start to become aware of it. And so that scam, you know, runs its course. They develop another scam.
Right. Yeah. So I can't give her my bank account to funnel through like $10 million and I can keep it too, right?
Right.
So don't do that.
Don't do that. No. Please don't. Yeah. Well, the other thing too is I think people, you know, some people, when they get pressured, because if you pick up the phone and there's someone on the other end, you know, they're going to pressure you. Whether it be an IRS scam or a get-rich-quick scheme. You know, they got pressure, and people succumb to that type of pressure sometimes. But you really got to be able to verify who you're actually talking to.
Right.
Is it a legitimate company?
Right.
And, you know, I tell people, listen, if someone calls you and they say this is the organization or it's a charity that they want you to give to.
Yes.
Right? Take their information, but before you commit to anything or donate anything, now you go on their website, the real website, and see if it matches.
Right.
A lot of times, they'll give you information. It doesn't take, you know, Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. For example, you get an email, and it may look like a legitimate charity, right? Or it could look like a business, like, for example, a Verizon, a National Grid, or something like that. You open it up, and then there's a link they want you to open up. Well, before you even look at that link, look at the return email address. And you'll see that. And it's like some goofy email address that you know is not legitimate. It doesn't come back to a Verizon or a National Grid. So you don't want to open up that link. Because once you open up that link, they're going to infect you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That happened to me last week, actually. Bank of America sent me, like, the logo was exact.
Right, exactly.
And it was saying you have to verify your information. You know, it's been... you've been compromised.
Right.
Just double check your account balance. You know, click on this, and I just deleted it because I almost did it though because it was. I looked at it, and then I went into my own, my online account, and there was nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, I actually got that same email, but I don't bank with Bank of America. So I just deleted because you know I knew they were out there fishing for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's happened to me too. Yeah, with different companies and that too. Right. The Nigerian scheme, getting back to all of that too, it's transferred over to dating sites. And
really?
I know that we were talking about that just a couple
weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago when we went out. And I have to tell you that I got approached by somebody that was in Nigeria finally. Because they said that they were from Massachusetts also. And I kind of interviewed them. And then my suspicious nature came out. And I started funneling through and come to find out that they did want to solicit $10,000 from me and to come to the United States and whatever. And I, because when they said that they're from America doing work as an American businessman in Nigeria. I said, well, the next thing you'll know, you'll ask me for money. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. And they went off the profile. Yeah. Like they just disappeared.
But, Shailene, you finally could have met your prince.
Prince is on the shelf. Yeah. Prince spaghetti sauce. Prince pasta. That's the only prince I'll ever meet.
Okay.
Oh, God. Anyway, okay. So we're getting down to different things that we were talking about pretending to be your, let's go through some of the lists that you have here because you have so many things here. But and we were talking about phishing, so that would be phishing, right?
Right.
Okay. So what happens when you know, like, God forbid, but, you know, like, there's so many different kinds of theft, like a stolen wallet or mail theft. And what is shoulder surfing? I've never heard of that phrase before.
All right, so shoulder surfing, just briefly, okay?
Yeah.
You're filling out an application, whether it be in a doctor's office.
We all do it.
Right. Or you're filling out a credit card application, you know, and someone's just looking over your shoulder, and they're either looking at your information. Now, I don't have a memory like that, but some people do have a memory that they can look at it and remember it. Or you could be doing something, and they'll be over your shoulder, and they'll take a cell phone picture
really?
Of it. Really? Right, right. And I'll give you an example. You know, I go to Red Sox games several times a year, and when you do, you know, in the concourse, they're always giving out, you know, free T-shirts or free blankets, whatever. But in order to get that, you have to fill out a credit card application and sign up for a particular credit card.
Wow.
And in the rush for everyone to get that free T-shirt or to get that free towel that has a Boston Red Sox logo on it, you know, you'll have 30, 40, 50 people, you know, hovering around on a table because they gave you the application with a clipboard, and you're side by side, shoulder to shoulder, filling out all your information. So if someone actually wanted to, they could just look left or right, and they could steal your information.
Wow.
Yeah.
And people actually are doing that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Like I said, people can get so creative on to steal your information. If they just put all that energy into actually doing a legitimate job, finding legitimate work, it would be great. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Did you ever fill out an application there, or no, you just went?
No, I did. But what I did was I walked away because it's on a clipboard.
Ah,
so instead of leaning over the table with everybody else, I just walked away.
Smart.
And filled it out. Yeah.
Great.
But even then, it goes back to now you're giving your information to people you don't even know.
People you don't know, yeah.
You know, to get that free T-shirt or that free blanket.
Right. Yeah. Wow, good information.
Yeah.
I got to hold you there, my friend, because we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
You are listening to Out and About with Elaine. I am Elaine LaRoche. Thanks for listening. We're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, we have Jim Corbin and his wonderful forecast of sunny skies and 80 degrees.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone.
Every 66 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Not only is the disease hard on the ones afflicted, but on their caregivers as well. On Sunday, April 30th, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Community VNA will be holding their fourth annual Spring Break Luncheon to aid patients with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. Spring Break takes place at Lake Pearl, 299 Creek Street in Wrentham. This event is open to the public and features Sunday brunch, entertainment, raffles, and a silent auction. For more information about the event, you can visit www.communityvna.com or you can call 1-800-220-0110.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink of my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
While we're waiting for Jim Corbin to call in, I'm going to give you today's lottery numbers, and good luck. Mass daily number is 3358. Rhode Island daily number is 0249. Mass cash, 14, 21, 22, 25, and 28. Mega Millions, good luck. 11, 27, 31, 58, 60. Mega Ball is 10 and Mega Plier is 4. I will mention two fundraising events now and then at the end of the show that are worth going to. Actually, one's a fundraising event that's happening this Tuesday at Twin River. Remember, we had Frank O'Donnell on the show a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about his foundation, Heavenly Gingers. They're going to have a really great fundraising time at Twin River next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m., live music, auctions, so many things going on, and live performances. Tickets are only $15, and all proceeds go to the Heavenly Gingers Foundation. Remember, Frank O'Donnell's lost his daughter to a drunk driving accident, and also another father lost his daughter, too. Both were redheads, and they formed this Heavenly Gingers Foundation. It's a really great cause, and tickets are only $15. Twin River next Tuesday, the 21st, okay? And also, a fun whimsical day, Saturday, March 25th, at the Ugly Dog Bookstore. Remember, we had Kim on last week, and she was great. They're going to have a family fun night, a spring fling day. And they're going to have story time, craft making, and you can take a lot of fun pictures. But you have to call the Ugly Dog Bookstore at 508-226-0100 to register for the event. It is free, and the fun starts at 2 p.m. So those are just some of the things that are happening in the area. I do also want to mention that the Farmers Market, 3 months from today, will be opened, and I can't wait. And also, too, if you're out and about tomorrow in Providence at today at noontime, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is in Providence. It starts at Smith Street. It comes all the way down to the State House over by the mall. It's going to be a lot of fun in Providence. Although I won't be there, I'll be working. So anyway, I'm waiting for Jim to call in at 508-222-1320. And if you're listening to us, too, and have a question about identity theft after Jim's report, feel free to call in as well at 508-222-1320. So yeah, I notice as I get out of work that it's so much lighter. And I love the daylight saving time because I believe it, we're almost up to 7 p.m., but we'll find out from Jim what's going on with the weather forecast. Good morning, Jim.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, quite well, thanks. Tell me something good, my friend.
Something good?
Yes.
Yeah, spring arrives on the calendar at 6:29 Monday morning.
Awesome.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, calendar really is a good forecaster of the weather, right? I mean, anyway, as you were just mentioning, brighter in the evening, the sun now setting almost 7 o'clock. And, of course, when we get into June, it'll be setting at 8:25, so that's good. Of course, there's some arguments now coming up again about should we keep daylight savings year-round, should we never have it and all that. So we'll probably be hearing about that again over the coming weeks and months. But anyway, today, not bad. A better day for the Providence Parade than what we had last week in Newport and the week before in Pawtucket when we had those bitterly cold temperatures. So, again, not exactly a mild day, but we're going to reach about 40, 41 degrees this afternoon. So how does that sound like?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, everything is, as I always use the R word, relative to what we've had. And 41 or so, roughly, this afternoon, say around 2, 3 o'clock, that's going to really feel comfortable. Now, we do have the threat of more snow on the way. Now, nothing like we had on Tuesday, certainly, anything close. However, there will be the threat of some snow. Now, not this evening. If you have plans this evening, just increasing clouds. We'll probably have a good-looking sunset around 7 o'clock or just after as those high mid-level clouds come in ahead of the next storm center, which fortunately looks to be intensifying, but this time far enough off shore to our south and east. So what's going to happen late tonight, probably after midnight, some light rain or snow could develop, most likely a little bit of wet snow. Now, because today, we always look when we forecast the weather, especially early or late in the winter season, the sun, especially late in the season now, the sun is higher in the sky. Even on a day when it's cloudy, you do have radiation coming through the clouds. So what's going to happen? The sun today, for the next several hours, before the clouds move in later, it's going to warm up the pavement. So the bottom line is, when we get the snow late tonight, and it's going to be a light snow, late tonight and off and on periods of light snow tomorrow, it's not really going to stick much to the pavement. It's basically just hitting those cold surfaces anywhere where there has been, you know, the dirty snowbanks we always talk about in anyone's backyard. I'm thinking periods of light snow tomorrow, the highest totals further south and east from, say, the 95 corridor. So you're up towards, say, Bellingham, over towards northern Rhode Island, say, Woonsocket, likely somewhat lighter amounts there than, say, if you're down towards Taunton and New Bedford. So it's periods of light snow tomorrow. The other thing tomorrow, especially throughout the day, the wind will pick up. Now, again, it's not going to be as strong as we had last Tuesday, but I could see gusts up to 30 miles an hour. So what it's essentially going to be is periods of light snow that's going to be kind of blowing sideways, but not really accumulating on the streets. That is the good news, at least at this point. Now, there could be little areas near the edges of the snowbanks where you get a little snow. But if you remember, Elaine, last Friday, remember we had that snowfall where it didn't accumulate at all on the roads?
Yeah. I had to work from home, but it did come down like from like about 7:30 in Attleboro all the way to like 11:30 a.m.
Yeah,
it was really like coming down,
but not sticking, because you remember last week we had two straight days around 50 degrees. So a lot of it is what is the setup just before the snow. You might remember earlier this week, Sunday and Monday were very cold. So immediately all untreated roads, the snow was sticking on Tuesday, not tomorrow. So again, it's not a nice day, certainly. And of course, Boston is having their parade tomorrow. I think it's at 1 o'clock in South Boston. So they'll probably have the parade, although it'll be kind of interesting. Even if the roads are just damp, they may be, parading into some light snow. So I don't know, but that'll be interesting. At any rate, here's the situation for Monday. Of course, again, on the calendar, spring arrives at 6:29 a.m. So everyone mark it down on your calendar, 6:29 a.m. All it means is the sun now is back in our hemisphere. And of course, the days and nights, now the days are longer than the nights. Now, we're going to have on Monday highs around 40. So we'll have increasing sunshine, maybe some lingering flurries very early in the day. Now, by the way, the highest totals, I'm thinking an average of about 2 inches of snow in the greater Attleboro area. Again, a little less to the north and west, maybe an inch up again towards the Bellingham area, Milford. And then as you head down towards, again, the Route 24 corridor, maybe as high as 2 to 3 inches there. So not a big storm, but just a little unpleasant to be outside with those winds, gusty at times. Monday near 40. Tuesday is the warmest day for the rest of the at least week or so. Upper 40s and lower 50s on Tuesday. So everyone will be singing, looking for the crocuses to come up through the snow, which is probably going to be still a little tough for them. But at any rate, that's that day, Tuesday. Now, we have another shot at cold air, very cold air. That could be preceded Tuesday night by snow showers or snow squalls. Remember, we've had several of these incidents this winter. Warm air, and then you get Arctic air quickly coming in, get snow showers and snow squalls. Not all cities and towns get it. Then bitter cold for Wednesday and Thursday. Sunny, though, mostly sunny. And then we start to warm up toward the end of next week. Could the snow shower threat Tuesday night be the last snow we get for this winter? Possibly, but I think we may have one more shot at something early in April.
Really? Oh, my God. Yeah. That doesn't sound too good. I was very optimistic, Jim.
Yeah, well, it's really not that bad a forecast. I mean, today's nice, although, again, not mild, but it's the sun will be out, high clouds dimming it in the afternoon. And then tomorrow's snow, again, is not as great an impact happening on a weekend. But people can kind of just wait it out. Most people don't have a set schedule of work or school, obviously, so.
Right.
It's going to be kind of like an off-and-on light snow that continues for several hours, but, again, doesn't really accumulate too much on the road. So that's really tomorrow. And then Monday and Tuesday look really good. So, I mean, what's there to really complain about, right?
Right. No, I hear you. So you're thinking that maybe in April we might get some snow, too.
I look at long-term trends. And typically this type of a winter, as I'll call it, is a bookend winter, where you sometimes get a lot of stuff early and then a lot of stuff late. And, of course, you might remember the April Fool's blizzard we had back in 1997, 20 years ago coming up this month, at the end of this month.
Wow.
That most of that winter was a dud winter. We had, matter of fact, we had more snow in that storm than we had in the entire winter that year, 1996-97. So I'm not saying that, but I see some long-range trends that we might have one more shot at something right around the first couple of days of April. So stay tuned on that.
Well, fingers crossed that we don't get that. Not that it's not. I mean, I know winter, we're in New England. We expect that. I mean, it was just, I think we get so used to that nice warm weather. I was at that winter festival in Attleboro, you know, with the ice sculpture melting, you know, and it was like.
And then a week or two later, it was the parade,
right.
The early St. Patrick's Day parades. Nobody has them on the real date anymore, except New York City, I guess.
Oh.
But Boston is the 19th. I know
right.
The issue is they want to get as wide a variety of bands. So not they had all parades on one day, then you wouldn't get a good variety of bands
sure.
You know, to play in the parade. But mm-hmm. If that's all you're worried about, I don't know. But remember, Pawtucket had it, I think, on March 4th.
Yes.
And it was like 5 above 0, you know, and the people were it was really tough to watch a parade when the wind chills were around 5 above 0. So, we've had everything. I mean, we had the two warmest days on record in late February 3 weeks ago when it hit 70, and everyone's like, oh, spring's here.
Right.
And then since then, it's been about 90% of the days have been bitterly cold for March. So that's the way it is this time of the year. March is always, my forecasting for 35 years, March is always, almost always, the most fickle month of the year where you get a wide variety. I've seen 90 degrees in March, and I've seen 10 below, 15 below zero. So you can get a wide variety this time of the year because the ever-increasing sun is fighting the remnant cold from Canada. That's exactly what you're seeing today. Today, getting up into the low 40s. If today were early January, same weather situation, today would probably be in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But because the sun is so much stronger now, it's able to heat things up better than it has been recently. So the bottom line is a little bit of light snow, kind of windy tomorrow, and then we really get to have two really good days, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much, as always, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Lynn, thanks.
Thank you. All right, there goes Jim Corbin, our meteorologist. A mixed bag of tricks this week. It seems like we're still not out of the woods yet as far as the weather goes. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and on the flip side, we have Chief of Police from Wrentham, Jim Anderson. We're going to be wrapping up the show shortly, so stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
United we will be. It's not the leaving of Liverpool.
Stop by the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary on April 2nd at 10 a.m. for an hour-long guided hike of the sanctuary. Get outside, experience nature, and get some exercise. These guided hikes are a great way to learn about local flora and fauna. Each trip is its own adventure, dependent on what nature wants to share with hikers that morning. Hikes will take place rain or shine, so please dress accordingly. For more information, call the sanctuary at 508-223-3060.
Hi, this is Bob Giammarco of Sentinel Safe Floors in North Attleboro. Slip and falls are the number one cause of accidents in hotels, restaurants, and public buildings, resulting in over $70 billion in annual medical costs and compensation, and leaving over 300,000 people with disabling injuries every year. Servicing both residential and business clients, Sentinel Safe Floors uses nano-grip technology to protect your loved ones, guests, and employees by making floors slip-resistant and safe. To learn more, please visit our website at www.sentinelsafefloors.com. We don't install floors, we make them safer.
Hi, I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We do anything for kids. Yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Learn more at feedingamerica.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We have Jim Anderson, Chief of Police in Wrentham, and we're talking about identity theft, and we've been doing that all morning, but how can you actually avoid the scams, Jim?
Well, Elaine, part of it is you've got to be aware. you know, you got to keep up with the current news, current trends with scams, stuff like that. You should really check in with the Federal Trade Commission.
Really?
Well, they monitor scams, and they have updates.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're the number one reporting agency for scams. So they should be on your list as well. You know, before you divulge any personal information, know who you're dealing with. You may want to independently verify exactly who you're talking to. Because again, you know, you've got no idea who's on the other end of that phone, the other end of that email. And you don't want to be act impulsive. You know, you don't want to be impulsive about this whole the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. You know, don't do it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the best advice mm-hmm. that you had given us is like if someone calls you from a charity to take down the information, because I got a call from the Wounded Warrior Project.
Right.
Yeah. And my brother was a Vietnam vet. And it's mm-hmm. like, of course I'd mm-hmm. support them, you know.
Right.
And then I said to them, well, do you have any information you can send me through the mail? And then they hung up on me. So then I knew it was a scam.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're right about that. Verify. Make sure you verify the charity before you don't give any personal information over the phone is the bottom line message here today, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else can you give us?
All right. So, you know, you want to be able to protect your information.
Right.
Right. And so basically the way to protect yourself from type of scams is one is safeguarding your information. And you want to monitor your credit.
Now, why is that important?
Well, you need to safeguard your information because, again, you know, we've talked all morning about, you know, getting that information to the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you never want to do. And keep in mind, your information, your data is everywhere from, you know, financial institutions, medical records, could be...
A restaurant.
Restaurants, retail development, you know
what
I mean?
Right, right.
So it passes through, again, you know, many hands, many layers. And, you know, how protective is it really?
Right, I know. You know? And that's the thing. Yeah. Like the average person, okay, say if you don't have an American Express card and you have Visa and MasterCard, and then charges get on these accounts and everything, what is your recourse? What are some of the steps that you can take if you've discovered... just by, like, I check my bank accounts daily several times. If I find, like, something's missing or, like, $1,000 or $3,000 is gone or whatever, what is my recourse? What is the first step you should take?
Well, the first step you want to do is if you discover that you've been a victim, one is you want to notify the institution that it was compromised,
mm-hmm.
whether it be a bank, hospital, or whatever it may be. You notify them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you need to notify the Federal Trade Commission, because they keep track of all the scams. Three, you want to notify your local police department. And the important thing is you want to be able to document everything.
Okay.
Document everything, whether it be reports, affidavits you may have to sign to make sure that, you know, you are not the actual purchaser of that piece of equipment or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As in the case with you.
Correct.
That must have been shocking, but you're the chief of police. I'm just shaking my head.
It happens to everybody.
I was just going to say, if it can happen to you, it's going to happen to everybody.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the thief, he's got no idea who I am.
Right.
You know, he's got no idea who you are.
Right.
You know what I mean? Doesn't know what your title is, your job, nothing. So to them, it's all about, you know, can they scam you and can they extract some type of financial gain?
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, stricter laws have to be in place, I think, as we're talking, to protect our identity. I mean, do you have to divulge your Social Security number to a medical facility? I don't think so. I have a trouble with that, and I rarely do. I rarely, you know, fill in that information because I figure I'm giving you my name and address. You don't need my Social Security number. I just feel...
Right, I think the reason they do that is that because in case you don't pay... the hospital bill or the doctor bill, and they take you to court, they're going to need that Social Security number for small claims.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay, I didn't know that. I just thought that they just were asking just like, you know, height, weight, you know, different things.
Yeah, that's when you get locked up, Elaine.
Oh. Oh, I can go somewhere, but I'm not going there. Okay, so we got to wrap up in about 3 minutes, but you've given us some really great advice. But basically, it seems like we're all vulnerable to this sort of thing. And it's just, I can't, you know, one question I want to ask you is like, if somebody opens up a credit card in your name, how can they do that without you know, how can you, how does that happen?
All they need is your name, address, date of birth, or social security number. They can open it up, right? And what they can do is, it happens in a couple of ways. One, they can open it up, take an account, they get the credit card. And what they'll do is they'll open up either an account with a different address. They have your name,
Date
of birth, or social security number. They can open up with a different address, a P.O. box. They'll get that account. They'll spend. And then when you either get the bill from your credit card company, or if they notice that there's some type of unusual activity,
right,
and they notify you. But at that point, or at that time, you know, the thief has already got, you know, whatever type of goods he's looking to get out of that.
Right. Yeah? In your instance, all those fancy Home Depot, Was that ever recovered?
I don't know. On my end, I was more concerned about, you know, restoring my credibility.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the bottom line is this. You know, it takes years to build a strong financial credit rating.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But within minutes, it can be destroyed. You know? And once they do that, you know, now they could wipe out your bank accounts. They could freeze your bank accounts. You can't get credit cards. You can't get a mortgage. It could take you years to reclaim that financial history again, based on, you know, some thief that you know is stealing your stuff and opening up accounts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really, it's frightening, actually.
It is frightening. Yeah.
Yeah. So people out there, the best message is to protect your identity.
Protect your identity, yep. And shred.
Not toss. That's
it. Shred every document you have before you toss it away.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I never know, like, dumpster diving, you know, going into your trash.
Right.
I only thought that was happening with the Kardashians, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, I've never seen that show, so I don't know what they do there.
I don't either. No, I'm not familiar, nor do I want to be. Please, trust me. So, all right. Well, listen, I do have to wrap up the show in just a few seconds, but I do want to thank you for coming down.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's
good to see you again.
Yeah, same here, Jim. Same here. And we'll have to have you back again and talk to us about the Rentham outlets out there.
Very good.
And what's going on up there and how you can protect yourself from the theft and car theft and, and all that shoplifting and things like that. But I do appreciate you for talking to us today about how to protect yourself from identity theft. It certainly is a very serious subject. So, in saying that, I'd like to thank Jim Corbin also for calling in each and every Saturday, for making my show so great, and also Mike Catanzaro's on our board to keep us on track and always bringing up my beautiful music. We're doing the Irish theme today. Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Pontificating with Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show will be back on Saturday, Out and About with Elaine, each and every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by Dave Kane from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening, and meet me back here next Saturday for a great, exciting show for Out and About with Elaine.
And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.